Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Can We Talk Radio. Of course, I am your host, Raz Williams. This show is coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Guys, I'm really excited to do today's show. This is a topic that I've always wondered about and find it very relevant. And today's show is titled, Love With All You Have, Not What You Have Left. I'm going to say that one more time. Love With All You Have, and not with what you have left. And I want to give a big up to Mr. Ronnie Ambrose for coining that phrase. And this means that if you're emotionally unavailable or have too much emotional baggage, this means that you are not free to truly love someone else with 100% of all of you. Is that fair? No. But many people in today's society get into committed relationships such as marriages, engagements, long-term relationships, knowing fully well that they are not whole people, and therefore the relationship that they are in are doomed to fail. This creates hurt people, which include yourself and or the other person you are in a relationship with, but more often it can hurt children who are also the product of such relationships, hence destroying family. So we're gonna take a look at this and see what God has to say about this. We're also going to discuss how to recognize it in other people, in yourself, and if you are emotionally unavailable and you do have emotional baggage, how to deal with that. So with that said, I'm really excited today to have some new co-hosts on the panel today. I want to introduce my main man, Ronnie Ambrose. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, Raz?
Oh, man, I'm hyped. I'm doing good, Ronnie.
That's
man.
Right.
What do you think about today's topic?
I think it's going to be cool. You know, I'm expecting to learn something myself. I know we've all been there, so I'm just looking forward to giving and receiving on this one.
All right. And I want to introduce to you to the first time to Can We Talk Radio. I want to introduce my main man, Brian. This is one of the baddest, illest barbers in Southern California, and he also goes by the name of North. North, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, you're welcome, man. So, North, let me ask you, man, what do you think of today's show?
You know, honestly, I think it's a really good topic. It's something that I believe that, you know, both men and women, you know, have an idea about, but a lot of times we just kind of, like, overlook it because of, you know, selfishness. So I'm actually really looking forward to, like, talking about this today.
That's good, man. Absolutely. Glad to have you on the show, bro. And
glad to be
here, I wanted to just... Yes, sir. I want to introduce to you one of my mentors. His name is Minister Rodney, and I'm glad to have him on Can We Talk Radio for the first time. Minister Rodney, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, brother. How you doing?
We're blessed, man. Rodney, man, what do you think of today's topic?
I think it's a good topic, man, because a lot of people, first of all, don't even know what love is. A lot of people haven't even experienced real, true love. You know what I'm saying? And I think this is a good topic to address, to bring out some of the issues that come out in people. You know, the reason why they can't love fully is because they first don't even know what love is. And they, if you never experience love, how can you give love? So I think it's a very good topic.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, we kind of started a new tradition last week, and we're kind of going to go to our news correspondent, Mr. Ronnie Ambrose, and he's going to let us know what's going on in the world today. Ronnie, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, and I'm ready.
All right, man. So what do we have going on in the world today, man?
All right, well, these things, first off, I want everybody to know these things are happening, like, now. This is not, like, stuff from ancient history. This is things that are happening right now, for so that you can get an idea of the state of things, you know, as a believer. This is just some news that's happening. I went on to the Internet and checked out what this one particular site called ChristianHeadlines.com had to say. So you can go further into depth. I'm just going to, you know, take a little dip into these two articles that I found. But if anybody is really interested in finding out, you know, a little more about these stories and other news, go ahead and go to ChristianHeadlines.com. And so I'm going to start with this one right here. And the story goes, nothing says child-appropriate material like gender-bending underage superheroes. At least, that's the theory at The Hub, the network co-owned by Discovery and Hasbro, which is trotting out its latest soon-to-be-dud, Shizo. That show follows the adventures of a 12-year-old boy named Guy, who uses a magic ring to transform himself into a crime-fighting girl. Yes, you read it. Well, now you're hearing it, but you're hearing it correctly. This is what they're trying to push. And the story continues when Guy says the magic words, "You go, girl."
Wow.
He becomes Shizo. Right. He becomes Shizo wearing a purple skirt, cape, and a purple skirt and a cape, as well as pink gloves and white boots. And I think here's what one of the executives had to say. I'm not going to put her name out there, but you can read the story for yourself. It's on there. The chief executive of The Hub, who may or may not, well, you know, they got their comments, but this is what she had to say. When she first heard about the show, her reaction was, "Are you out of your mind?" Then she looked at it and thought, "Oh, it's just funny." And so the target audience for The Hub is children aged 2 to 11. And so this is what they're planning to come out with. This is nothing. This is what's in the making right now, and this is the situation right now. This is what you're up against right now, a cartoon where a male character named Guy has to say, "You go, girl," and he turns into a girl, and he begins to go on as a superhero, and this is what they're pushing. So I just want to pass it around to the panel. Do you guys have any comments on this story? I'm going to start
with... Man, you know what?
Go ahead.
You know, Ronnie, man, I saw that actually because, you know, I like cartoons, man. I know I'm a mature man, but I still like cartoons. And I was flicking through, man, and I saw that commercial on The Hub. And, man, thanks for bringing that up, brother. I mean, that to me is a monstrosity, bro. I mean... They're trying to indoctrinate and trying to brainwash
That's
these little kids at a young age, and trying to get them to be confused about who they are as a man, you know, as a male or female, you know. So I think that's something we really have to be very careful about. If those of you who have kids out there and children, and you have to protect them against these kind of you know, let's look at the word television programming. Take away the word television, it's programming. That's what it's doing. So we really have to boycott these kind of shows, call into the networks and complain about this kind of nonsense. I think it's terrible. That's my comment.
That's right. So what about you, Brother Rodney? Do you got any insight or just an opinion on a show that's teaching kids to go between genders?
Yes, I do, man. For one, thank you, brother, for bringing out that information. I think, for one, we as Christians need to be up on this type of information because, you know, you can't fight something if you don't know about it. So my opinion on it, man, it's ridiculous. It's nonsense, but like Brother Raz is saying, it's nothing but the enemy to plant seeds in our children's mind, because see, he's going after the next generation, our young kids. And it's up to me, you know, I'm a parent, man. I have three kids. So it's up to me, for one, to monitor what they're looking at, and two, to be up on game of what they're putting out there so I can know, you know, what to safeguard my kids from, man. And it's just, you know, that right there, man, as far as a boy turning into a girl in the superhero aspect,
right,
is just foul, man. That's just a foul
wow.
spirit. You know, it's just very foul, man, and it's promoting the agenda of the enemy. You know, the Bible talks about how, you know, you got principalities and powers in high places, and that's what that is. They are just pushing the agenda of the enemy. You know, the devil is a very perverted being, and that's what he's putting out there. You hear it in the music, you see it in TV commercials, you see it all over the place, and it's just another avenue where he's trying to plant his seed.
That's right. I agree. Brian, you want to give your comment on the show that's exposing young teens to, well, actually exposing them to sexuality, period, because I'm sure
yeah.
they didn't have a problem with being just a boy or just a girl, but now they're being presented the option to be both.
Yeah, definitely I do. You know, when we see and hear situations like this, you know, especially in a cartoon form, it really just pretty much signifies and lets us know that the plan that they have, they're continually trying to do it over and over again, generation after generation. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to destroy the family, man, the family base. If you can take a man and make him uncomfortable with his sexuality, then it affects him and the future generations. Basically, you know, they don't want family. They don't want to see a man, a woman, and their kids anymore. They don't want to do that. So, like I believe Brother Rodney was saying, that, you know, this is an agenda. This is an agenda that the enemy has put into design and early, since the beginning of the time, in order to corrupt and destroy and to divide. And I think that when you hear about programs like this, if we take away everything and strip it down to its bare form, what it's doing is trying to hurt the family, that structure, because that's where love is. You know, I'm a 32-year-old man living, you know, in this world. I'm getting ready to bring a son into this world. I have a son on the way. You know, he'll be here in September. And when I hear stuff like this, it bothers me, because I understand what it is that I have to deal with and what I'm up against. The things that I'm going to teach my son, the values that I'm going to instill into him, there's going to be other outside influences pulling on his mental, on his spiritual, and we have to be strong and understand that as men that we are now, we cannot allow stuff like this. No, we just can't.
That's right. I agree with you, brother. I agree.
Absolutely.
I thank you all for your opinion. I agree. And so, you know, I just, you know, to end the note on that story, we know that the content of the show is perverted. We know, you know, that there is an agenda. But for anybody who wants to say it's just entertainment, they actually tell you directly who they're targeting. Their target is children, I believe it was 3 to 11. So they know who they want to get. They have a target. You don't have a target unless you aim it, and you don't aim unless you know what you're doing. So keep in mind that they have a target audience for this material. And so the next story is, I'm not sure if anybody's aware that there was a high school in Texas where the cheerleaders would, if anyone's gone to high school football games, you know, when we get the paper banner and the cheering squad would stretch the banner out and the football team runs through the banner. We all familiar with that. Well, this school had the banners with scripture on them. And I saw this in the news maybe months ago, if not a year ago. And so, you know, I thought it was fine, but come to find out, the Beaumont, here's the story, the Beaumont, in Beaumont, Texas, the southeast Texas, the school district there is appealing a court ruling that allowed the cheerleaders to display their banners with Bible verses at the football games. So now we got the school district appealing or going against that, the cheerleaders' rights to to set up a banner with some scripture so that the guys can run through it. You know, I think that's a good thing. But I'm just going to go further, and what the district wants, the district wants the 9th Texas Court of Appeals to clarify whether the high school cheerleaders have a free speech right to include the religious message. And so, you know, this kind of touches on one of the stories that I brought yesterday. When we're dealing, us as believers have to know what this means. When we're dealing with the separation of church and state, it means the school, whatever the name of the school is, can't impose no scripture on nobody. But see, the school, because it's the state, can't stop these cheerleaders from doing, expressing their faith and belief. So that church, the separation of church and state works this way. The state can't support, endorse, or push any religion, but the same state can't stop the individual from publicly practicing their beliefs. And so, you know, I'm going to pass this one around too. So I'm going to start with you, Brian. These young teenagers have the banners with, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and something's wrong with that. What do you got to say?
In regards to the teenagers in these schools?
No, really, like, you see the story, like, the district there wants
right.
to take that right away from them. So, you know, just, you know, and like I'm saying, these are things happening this week. This is going on right now. This is not something, you know, for the history books. This is the state of things right now. So,
yeah, I know. And what's crazy about it is that, like, this is, like again, this is not the first time you hear about situations like this. I remember hearing a story about how there was a young man who wanted to pray at school. You know, for there was something that was going on, like doing for the kids that, you know, that passed away in one of these other states or what have you. And one
right.
of the teachers basically said that he couldn't do that. Like, and I feel really bad about that, because here we go again. It's like they want to divide and they want to conquer. That's what the enemy tries to do. And we learn that in church. We learn it in the world. That's in the word. That's what he's attempting to do, and it's very, very unfortunate. I'm really, really sad about that, man.
Yeah, and so, like I said, once again, I want people to be clear on the church and state issue. The state can't promote a religion or a practice, your free will. They can't promote it. They can't force their will on you, and so don't expect your school to have a Bible study, but in the same term, the school can't stop you as the individual believer from expressing your belief. So we got to know that the separation of church and state doesn't mean shut up.
Yeah,
it
doesn't mean that.
Can't
say that. But isn't it also saying that we can't impose our beliefs or our religions on anybody else? Isn't it saying that, though?
That's right. It's saying that we can't impose our beliefs and force the state to back us up.
Okay, I see.
But the state, you see what I mean? It's a freedom of speech issue. You know, I can get on the bus.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's in our Constitution. I mean, it's in our Constitution. We have the freedom of speech. You know, it's in an amendment. So you can't stop me from saying anything. However, but what they do is it's like a clause. You can't impose your religion on anybody else.
That's right. And so is this – the thing is, I'm saying, how does that banner impose religion?
Well, it's basically trying to remove religion. It's trying to remove the spirituality. It's trying to remove the belief, the values that religion holds away. And when you do that, really it just promotes the division. And that's just what I believe, man.
That's right. That's right, brother Rodney. You wanna address, you know, shed some opinion on this subject. The fact that the school district wants to know if they should allow these kids to practice their right to show where they stand spiritually.
I think the kids have a right. Put up what they believe. It's just another form of them expressing their beliefs. As long as they're not out there enforcing that on someone, I believe they have
That's
the right.
right
to stand up for what they believe. It's no different than when you have people come out picketing certain, you know, so like somebody picket a restaurant, they didn't like the food or whatever, so they got picket people. They can do that as long as they're not breaking the law.
There
so
we
these
go.
Kids, see, the kids are not breaking the law by putting what they believe out there on banners and stuff like that. They're not breaking the law. They're just expressing what they believe. And ultimately, you know, what the school is operating in as far as trying to get them to stop is just the anti-Christ spirit. That's basically what it is. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody has any, you can mention any other religion, but when you mention Christ, it's a problem. And see, and that's just what the scripture talks about, the spirit of the Antichrist. See, the spirit of the Antichrist is here. The physical body, the embodiment of the person is not here yet, but the spirit, the system is already here. So that's what you're dealing with.
That's what the scripture says. It sounds like the truth. What's up with you, Raz? You hear what they're trying to do? It's not like the kids are making the school go Christian. The kids have decided collectively that this is what they would like to do. Why should the district have the right to stop them if they're not violating the true meaning of church and state?
You know, they're not violating anything, and they know that. Here's the thing: if you want to know who the true God is, let's find out who the demons always try to cuss. Do you ever, when you hear people cuss, they say God, B. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Jesus. They don't say Buddha. They don't say they don't say none of that stuff. Anytime you bring up the true God, and the demons come out. You hear what I'm saying? They come out and protest.
That's right.
They want to start causing problems. They want to cause a ruckus. That's what they do. Anytime you start standing up for Christ, and that's like Brother Rodney said, it's nothing but the spirit of Antichrist. There are many Antichrists that do not like Christ because they're threatened by what Christ represents. They're going to lose their power structure of control. That's why they come out like this in force and try to pass these demonic legislations to try to stop and block and hinder what God is trying to do, but to no avail. Yeah. That's my comment, brother.
That's right. We do have the victory. And so, yeah, that just, you know, this is what's happening. Whoever would be listening now or you know, throughout the week, these things are recent. These things are happening now. This is the climate that you're in. Brother Rodney said it. Brother Raz enforces it, and I agree with it. And because the scripture says that there are many antichrists, meaning that spirit has taken many forms, and one of the forms it's taken is in the court system, and another form it's taking is on your media. So as a believer, be prayed up, because you do have the power in your mouth to thwart the enemy, you know, attack in your personal life. But let's be aware. So that's the news, everybody.
All right. Absolutely, man. Thank you very much, Ronnie, for, you know, spreading the news. You did a good job, sir. Did an awesome job,
thank
man.
You.
You know what, guys, if you're calling in for the first time, the title of today's topic is we're talking about love with all you have, not with what you have left, specifically talking about overcoming emotional baggage and emotional unavailability. Guys, the number to call in is 347-945-7310. The number again to call in is 347-945-7310. If you have a question or comment, we want to hear from you guys. If you have something you don't agree with, please call in. We would love to hear from you, guys. Before we get into today's topic, I want to read a letter to you guys. I want each of you to like give your turn and give some wisdom to. We have a faithful listener called Miss Sonia Shari. She's out of Maryland, and she we did a show. Ronnie, you probably remember that show. We did it like I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago on sexually explicit material. Do you remember that?
I missed that one, but I heard it.
Oh, you missed that one? Okay, that was me and Alicia. We did a show on sexually explicit material, and this is what she wrote. This week, I found myself in for the first time in my life in Planned Parenthood, contemplating a pregnancy test at Single Parenthood, and possibly abortion. Because a few Saturdays ago, I visited an old online porn stomping ground and later that day hooked up with an old friend. One choice of questionable entertainment could have led to a lifetime of pain. I do not love this man. We argue constantly when we do talk extensively, and all we have in common is selfish lust. The experience was not enjoyable, and I regretted it immediately afterwards. And when it was finally confirmed I wasn't pregnant a few days ago, his overzealous relief was borderline disrespectful, as if I was not worthy. I am a true example of being mindful of your thought life. No matter the outcome, God would have restored my dreams, but they would have still been altered, and things meant and the things that were meant for me, the man that was meant for me, the best life meant for me, would have all been put in a different trajectory. This week I have been in a lot of prayer about the hold the power of lust has on me, dodging bullets, not sexy. Thank you guys for forcing me and others to have honest conversations. Son Yashari. Now I want to pose that question to you, Ronnie, first. So what advice do you have to Miss Shari? And big shout out to Miss Shari. Sonny, man, if you're listening, we want to give you a big shout out, man. We just want to thank you for really supporting the show. You've been supporting us from the very first show. And you know, Sonny, we would love to hear from you, man. I mean, please call into the show. You know that number, 347-945-7310. All right, take it away, Ronnie.
Well, like I want to say to Shari that that's the way to go about it. Look at it for exactly what it is. Don't keep it in. Don't try to put it under the rug, but put it out there so it can be dealt with. So I appreciate your courage. I appreciate the fact that you're taking a stand and no, not trying to convince yourself that what you did was all right. And two, I want you to not be condemned, because you're free to go to God. If you were to slip like you did, I'm not saying make it a reason to slip, but if you slip like you did, you do have an advocate in the Savior that goes before the Father. And so don't if you've asked for forgiveness for this thing and you're asking for the power to overcome this thing, accept it as though it's already been done. And don't let any memory, don't let any whisper discourage you. But what I would do is just take it seriously. Seems like you are. Take it seriously, because the thing is, everyone is more susceptible to something. For some it's money. For some it's lust. For some it's food. You know, for some it's trees. So all I would do is take it seriously and know that for you, you need to master it. If you go look at Genesis, right before Cain killed Abel, the father said, what you want to do is not fall for it. What you want to do is master it. And so stay in your prayer, stay in your scripture. You understand? Let the word transform your mind. And so what you want to do is avoid certain things. Proverbs is clear that it is wise for somebody to see an evil thing and run like a deer, like a gazelle in a hunter's scope. It's all right to run from it. And keep in mind that being tempted is not the problem. What causes the problem is the desire to do the thing that makes you fall. So just deal with it and trust in God to walk you through this. But please don't make any room for this to ever happen to you again. Because the dominion is your choice. You do have dominion, and it begins with your choice. And so, like I said, you know, I love you, and I'm praying for you, and I'm rooting for you. And whatever you're asking God to change in you, I agree with it right now. And if you can hold on to anything, avoid the things that make you fall, and know that it's not the temptation that causes you to fall; it's the desire. So master the desire, and you'll overcome. That's what I believe.
Absolutely, Ron. Ronnie, that's a good comment. North, what do you have to say to Ms. Shari?
First, I'd like to say to Ms. Shari, you know, it takes a lot to be honest about, you know, situations that we find ourselves in. And the fact that you were so honest and so real already automatically just speaks volume of your character, just simply because a lot of people don't have that ability to keep it real and keep it true, you know? So I just want to say first, I just respect the honesty, you know, before the situation that happened. And I'm following right behind Brother Ronnie, and he's basically saying, you know, to be real and to understand this situation, you know, we make decisions in life and we do certain things, but, you know, it seems like you dealt with it head on and you did what you had to do, you know. We know if a situation is not real, in the core of our essence, we know, you know. And just like you were saying in the story that you wasn't real, so you did what you had to do, and I just commend your element.
Absolutely. Mr. Rodney, what do you have to say to Ms. Shari?
First of all, I want to say, Ms. Shari, you did a good thing by coming real with it, like the other two brothers were saying. You know, first of all, you know, if we're not honest with ourselves, if we're not real with ourselves, then we can't get help. But when you're real and honest before God, see, that's when God can help you, is when you strip down and you become naked before God. God will help you. And it's a verse, I'm going to encourage you, it's a scripture of Romans 8:26, where it says, the Holy Spirit comes and aids us and bears us up in our weaknesses. So until you get strong in that area, rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is such a powerful gift that God has given us to us. I don't know if you're filled with the Spirit or not, but the Holy Spirit will aid you in your weaknesses. I mean, we all have dealt with certain things. I've dealt with lust before, you know, dealt with those things, and I had to pull on God. I had to be honest and real with God, like, God, you know, this is what I'm dealing with. This is my desires. And when I was real and honest with God, you know, he showed me a way out. God will give you an exit plan. You know, there's no temptation that isn't common to man. So, you know, for one, don't beat yourself up. You did the right thing by coming real, coming honest, and seeing God respects that. You know, that's one thing that God respects, is when you come before him honest and stripped. And I just want to encourage you, you know, that God will give you the power, the grace to walk, you know, the way that God desires for us to walk in truth, you know. And don't listen to the voices in your head, the enemy telling you this and telling you that. You know, just continue to stay before God in prayer. Continue to stay in relationship, an intimate, vibrant relationship with God, and God will direct every step, you know, that you're taking. And not only that, when God brings you through this, you're going to be able to help somebody else come out, see? So, you know, there is something that's going to benefit from this, because you're going to be enabled to help somebody else. So I just want to encourage you on that. That's all I got to say on that.
Absolutely. That was awesome advice to Minister Rodney. And, Sonny, you heard it right there from all these men of God. And you know, we're you know, the Bible does say that we have to, you know, bear our brothers and sisters' weaknesses. And we definitely will bear your weakness. And all of us, including myself, we've definitely been in the same situation where we have fallen because of lust. And Sonny, you're a beautiful woman. And God has the right man for you who will not only respect you, but love you the way God loves you. And will treat and a man that you not only want, but that you also need. So I just want to encourage you to stay faithful. I mean, I know it's not easy. I know that, you know, you see all the other females out there, you know, getting their quick fixes, and they seem to be doing okay. But, you know, but the end thereof is death. You know, death to their dreams, death to the real men or the real true relationships that God has for them. So don't be one of those women. Be the woman who stands out. Be the woman who stands for Christ, and the woman who ultimately will be blessed at the right time. So thank you for continuing to listen, Sonya, and, you know, we love you, and call in sometime. We want to hear your voice. All right. So, guys, if you're just calling for the first time, please call us at 347-945-7310. The number again is 347-945-7310. Well, guys, let's get into today's topic, man. I want to ask you this question to Ron. Ron, we're talking about emotional unavailability and overcoming emotional baggage. And can you kind of tell me, like, what, in your opinion, what is the definition of emotional unavailability and also emotional baggage, and how they kind of, like, go hand in hand?
Who, me?
Yeah, Juan, this is to you. Question's to you.
I said, the emotional availability is like I would put it in a term where you still have someone else on your mind. You can't give the person that you're with what they either expect from you. You can't give it to them, and there's no give and take because you're somewhere else spiritually and emotionally. You're not 100% in the relationship, whether it be sometimes it could be, you know, due to stress related things, but most time it's due to a void that can only be filled by either someone or something that you've been involved with previous to the person who's trying to, that you're attempting to be committed to. So when you got this extra baggage, or when you got it's kind of like a scar. When you got the scar that hasn't been healed, you really can't perform for the person that you're with, or that you're talking to, or being courted by, and you could miss out on the right person in that way. But it does, most of the time, things like that for male and women, you know, they're not giving their 100% to the person that they're dealing with, due to a past experience with someone else, whether they couldn't let go, whether there was abuse, but it's usually due to something previous to the relationship that you're in. And so, you know, that's pretty much the situation if you were to ask me.
Absolutely. That's a good comment. I want to ask the same question to North.
Yeah. A lot of times, you know, in relationships between men and women, we find ourselves putting up walls and guarding our hearts from pain that we've endured in our past. And basically what you end up having is a situation where hurt people. So it's like a person that's hurt inevitably ends up hurting someone else. And when that happens, that's where the emotional baggage comes in, and not allowing yourself to really truthfully love or give yourself to anybody else, you know, and it's an unfortunate situation. Also, a lot of times it doesn't even come from, you know, bad relationships. It just comes from, you know, a person just guarding themselves because of fear, for one, and just the lack of understanding. So I think that emotional unavailability and emotional baggage is just, you know, issues that a man or a woman just hasn't dealt with them within themselves. They don't fully know themselves or really what it is that they're looking for in another person. You know, how could I even give myself or attempt to do that if I don't exactly even know what I'm looking for or what it is that I want? So that's my answer for that.
Absolutely. Mr. Wright, I want to pose that same question. What's your definition of emotional unavailability?
Well, emotional unavailability, you know, I think a lot of times people have been damaged. Like Brother Ron was saying, people have been damaged and they have not been healed. And, you know, you have a wound that you put a Band-Aid on. It's a gunshot wound, but you try to cover it up with a Band-Aid, it ain't going to work, you know. And I think when people want to get into relationships and things of that nature, you know, they need to deal with the past baggage, the past hurts, so that they can be properly healed, so that they can love 100%, so that they can give their all. And when you're not healed and you're trying to go from one relationship to the next relationship, you know, half the time you're there, half the time you're not, you don't know how to love. And therefore, if you don't know how to love, and if you haven't been healed from any past hurts, even hurts from your childhood. See, some hurts don't even come from relationships. Some hurts can come from upbringing, not having a father, not having a mother, you know, a child left to themselves when they were young. And that shapes and forms, you know, a person, you know, and they can become despondent to that type of emotion and feeling. So, you know, and I think a lot of times if people are not properly healed
and you know, they shouldn't be in relationships. They need to either they need to get counsel, you know, get some godly counsel, or go through some therapy or something, you know, to get to where they need to be emotionally. And that's my opinion on that.
Absolutely. You know, I think about the scripture that says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains the favor of the Lord. But, and, you know, and this can be flipped for women too. I mean, you know, for women who are praying to God for a husband. But when a man or woman is still thinking about an ex, or they may be too independent, that's not God's definition of a good thing. So if I'm a man praying to God for the desires of my heart, and here comes a woman who is still thinking about her ex, and she's not giving me all of her, that's not a good thing I'm praying about. So it's impossible for God to bless you if you're emotionally unavailable. It's impossible for God to bless you with his best if you still have emotional baggage. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person, but it means that there's some true self-reflection that you have to do to let go of that baggage, to become available, so that God can feel comfortable blessing you with that special person. So if God is not sending those men because you're emotionally unavailable, who's sending those men? Who's sending those women? Brother Juan, what do you think about my comment?
Well, yeah, I think it's something to be aware of. You know, you want to consider in everything that we're doing, you know, whether you're saved or not, consider the spiritual ramifications, if you will. Consider the spiritual the spiritual part that comes along with whatever you do. You understand? There is a spiritual aspect to everything that you're doing. And so, whether it be relationships, whether it be a past hurt of any kind, you have to take your spiritual authority and sever whatever ties to anything that would hinder your sight and your mind and your ability. You need to sever it in the spirit by declaring it, you know what I'm saying, with your mouth. And so if you are asking God for something, what you want to do is realize whatever your patterns are, or realize wherever you're at, because I believe some of the people that are functioning in this mode, it's not because they know what they're doing. They might not even notice it. And so that's why it's always wise to take a spiritual check and go ahead and sever some ties by canceling the effect that it has on you, by canceling assignments that are attached to some of the mistakes that we've made. And so, yeah, if you are praying for that good thing, and if you want to receive that good thing, you do want to be in right standing spiritually, because, you know, we were put on this earth, and, you know, I don't know if I'm the only one, but I wasn't hip to the Father for a long time. So, you know, I had a lot of baggage that I had to allow the blood of the Savior to wash clean. But it's something that you have to do consciously, like on purpose. You know, I know I was living a foul life. I know that I may have had a bunch of different people. I know I wasn't raised right, but I'm going to sever spiritually the effects and the attachments to those hindrances, so I could either be or receive that good thing that God created me to have.
Absolutely. You know, I want to share with you guys this real quick. I had a little bit of a breakthrough about 2 weeks ago. And in fact, it was God using North to, you know, I remember that North, when I was sitting in your chair, you were cutting my hair.
Yeah.
And we were talking about relationships. And North said to me, Raz, maybe you're still holding on to some things, some baggage, because you still seem to have some anger or some tension when you're talking about certain situations regarding women. And I must confess that he was right. So there were some things that even I had to let go. I'm saying that because, Ronnie, you mentioned that sometimes we don't recognize when we're stuck in a certain mode of thinking, and we wonder why we can't get the results we want. And I think having emotional baggage and being emotionally unavailable is like cancer. You will never truly have the life you truly want. until you deal with that situation, it's not going to go nowhere. You got to deal with this. But what happens is people, remember we talked about this last time, Ronnie, where people throw away the person or the relationship instead of throwing away the baggage. So, North, man, how do you feel about people who are stuck in a mode they can't recognize where they're at? What do you have to comment about that?
Yeah, I will bring that up, actually, because I do remember that conversation we had at the barbershop, and we were talking just about, you know, women in general, you know, about us wanting to be married and about us trying to find, you know, that woman that we feel like God has wants for our lives. And we're talking about a specific person, and automatically, like, your defense mechanisms went up. You, like, were like, no, I'm not having it like that. I'm not doing it like that. I don't want it like that. And I'm like, I was like, Raz, like, maybe you need to, like, look at the sign that you have on your forehead, because I know that the woman that you want and that you're seeking is out there for you, but because you are stuck in this mold, maybe from a past relationship or somewhere, you know, in your past where you were hurt, you still have that, like, stamp on you. So even though you're on your journey to get and to find what it is that God has for you, you might overlook it just simply because of that mold and that mind frame that you're in. You know, it could be a good woman that she might do one thing wrong and you say, nah, that's not the one. And we cannot allow ourselves to be like that, because God wants to bless us. The Bible says that he wants to give us the desires of our hearts. But it's up to us to open ourselves up and allow that to happen. And, you know, I see it all the time. A lot of guys that come into the shop, you know, it's the same thing. You know, we're all looking for something, you know, this idea of a wife that we want, or this idea of the woman that we want. But we have to ask ourselves, what kind of man am I? And I want a queen, but am I positioning myself as a king? You know, what kind of things am I doing? So I think that to get out of that mind frame and to get out of that mold, first we have to go to God, our creator, and pray and ask him to deliver us from whatever it is that we're dealing with, whatever struggles or whatever strongholds that we have in our lives, and open our hearts up so that way we can receive the blessings that he has for us in this woman that we want. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you know what, I just for the record, guys, I don't mind being transparent if it's going to help somebody. You know, we discussed my little issue, and you know, well, thank God that, you know, North, my brother in Christ, he came in love, and he didn't beat me over the head. He didn't come up with me foul. He came at me in love, and he discussed this with me, and I prayed about it. And, you know, I can't say that, and I think I shared this with you, North, that I felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. So, I mean, I feel that God is doing something in me in that area, and I believe that it's going to be all good. So I want to ask that same question to Minister Rodney. How do you feel about that comment, Minister Rodney?
Both of the brothers gave some very good answers, man. And, you know, I'm pretty much on the same pages with them, man. You know, I take a look at my life and where I was before I came into the things of God. You know, I was running the streets, dealing drugs and the whole nine, and my whole mentality, my whole attitude towards women was just, you know, I want to hit it and quit it. You know, I wasn't emotionally trying to be tied to no one, you know. And I had a lot of issues in my own personal life, so emotions I never showed, you know. So when I got saved and I came into the things of God, you know, that's one of the first things. As I began to develop a relationship with Christ, a lot of those things God began to deal with me about as I was renewing my mind daily, you know, in the Word of God and being transformed, you know, from the world into the kingdom of God and being acclimated in the things of God. That's one of the things that God began to deal with me, was the hurts and the things that I had in me that wouldn't allow me to be emotionally transparent with anybody, because I had a lot of anger, I had a lot of hurt from my upbringing, the relationship between me and my dad. And so those things affected, you know, my relationships with everything else. And see, it was a point in my life where I hated my dad. And the Bible talks about the root of bitterness. And when you think about the root of bitterness, it's like going in your front yard and pulling up weeds, right? So when you pull up a weed, sometimes that weed is connected to so many other plants in the garden. You're like, wow, I didn't know it was all over the garden like this. And so, and that's how bitterness is, man. Bitterness and unforgiveness It affects everything in your life, and it reflects every relationship that you have, because as soon as the person do something that you feel that's not right towards you, you immediately cut them off. You immediately throw them away. And those are some of the things that, you know, that God had dealt with me about. And it was like a 5-year process for me before I entered into any relationship. Before I met my wife, man, God dealt with me. And it took 5, it's a process. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. But I had to come to a point to where I recognized that I needed help. You know what I'm saying? That I needed help in releasing those hurts and those pains, that baggage, because, you know, that wore on me. And you know, and once you get past that initial process, you recognize it, you begin to walk with God, and as you're developing your relationship with God and your intimate relationship with God, man, he begins to pull those things up out of your heart, man. And once you pull it up out of your heart, then he fills you with his love. He fills you with all the good stuff, the fruit of the Spirit. And then when you're at a point, you know, then God will send that mate, you know, like he told Adam. Adam had a relationship with God before he brought Eve. You know, God said it's not good for man to be alone. But the Bible also talks about how God used to come down in the middle of the day, in the cool of the day, and fellowship with Adam. So Adam had his relationship intact with God. Then God brought that mate, you know, and it's the same way with me. I had my relationship intact with God after God pulled all that junk up out of me, and then I was emotionally ready to deal with whatever woman he brought in my life. Then that's when, you know, see, God knows the perfect timing when you're ready. Sometimes we want stuff now, and I always tell people, I was in my class that I taught last week, I said, whenever you want something more than you want God, you're just showing God that you're not ready for it. And a lot of times we want relationships and stuff like that, and we know dang well we're not ready for it because we have so much baggage that we don't want to deal with, that we need to deal with, because God is not going to send someone in your life and you have all this baggage and stuff that you're not dealing with. Until you get to that point where you recognize it and you're ready to deal with it, then you'll see change. That's my opinion.
Wow, that's you heard it, folks. That's Minister Rodney gives some of the most real advice out there, and I concur with that. I want to you know, guys, if you're calling in for the first time or you're listening in, we're talking about overcoming emotional unavailability and emotional baggage. The title of today's show is Loving with All You Have, Not with What You Have Left. And if you want to call in, the number to call us at is at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. I want to talk about what does God have to say about emotional baggage? I remember a scripture in the Bible where it says that lay aside every weight that easily besets you, or to that effect. And I want to pose that question to Ronnie.
Yep. Well, it's a must. We know that scripture is talking about when you receive Christ, you got to let go of the things that you are attached to. You know, for some of us, it's, you know, different kind of vices, it's different kind of mind states, it's different kind of philosophies. But I want whoever's listening to recognize that if the Bible's telling you that you have the ability to lay aside things that slow you down, take advantage of that ability and lay these things aside. Lay whatever it might be that's becoming a wall in between where you are and where you want to go. Lay aside whatever that thing is. That's just spiritually and physically. You can lay aside anger. You can lay aside distrust. You can lay aside prejudice. You can lay aside whatever would be hindering you. And so the thing is, if God is telling you that his creation is able to lay aside things that will cause you to lose, take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Minister Rodney, same question to you.
Man, I have to be the brother. I have to agree with Brother Ron. He said it, everything in a nutshell, man, that we are to lay aside that weight that so easily ensnares us. You know what I'm saying? We have to lay it aside and just, first of all, you have to want to lay it aside. God has given you the ability to lay it aside, but you have to want to let it go. You see, and that's the problem. a lot of times we don't want to let the stuff go. You know, it may feel good or whatever it may be, but you have to want to be delivered. You have to want to let it go. And once you get to that point, man, then, you know, there's a grace that God has given you to be able to walk free from anything that the enemy tried to use to hold you bound. You can walk free from anything. Once you make up your mind that you don't want to be bound no more, that you want to let this stuff go, man, you're on a whole nother level now. You know, and that's what I have to say about that.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of men and women who don't want to let go of the relationship. The relationship may have moved on. It may have come to an end. But in their mind, in their emotions, and even in their body sometimes, they go back to the past. They haven't let it go. They don't want to let it go. And therefore, it makes them incapable of even being with somebody new because they're always comparing. And one thing we have to remember is that, you know, the devil roams around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And the Bible says we have to be alert and be of sober mind. Satan is passionate about keeping us away from the perfect will of God. You know, walking around trying to get into a relationship when we're not letting go of the past or letting go of this baggage, you know, we're truly not going to get what we want. So that's my comment on that. And Noah, do you have anything to add to that, man? Or
yeah, I do. It actually goes in line with what this today's topic is about. You know, loving with all you have and not with what you have left. In order to even get to that place of loving with all you have, a lot of times we have to go back, you know, to the Word and to God, because throughout the relationships that we go through, you know, our hearts, you know, get damaged, you know, along the way, scars, bruises, and then you end up with this heart that we're not even fully all the way using anymore. There's only a corner or a speck of it left, and that speck that's left is what we want to take and give to somebody else. Well, we have to actually go back, you know, to God, to ask God to restore us, and so that way we have the ability to love with all we have. Because in a lot of situations, it's just kind of like through the relationships and just through our life, you know, through the journey in life and all the things that we go through, a lot of times there's not a lot left in our heart to give, you know. We never go into relationships with our whole heart. We're going in with a lot of mind and, you know, with all these different ideas about how we're going to be. We know right away if we're going to give this person, you know, all of ourselves. And a lot of times we don't because of that fear, like I said before.
Absolutely. You know, guys, I want to talk about the signs of emotional unavailability or emotional baggage, because we need to equip people, men and women, to protect themselves, because, you know, we know that if you do get involved with somebody like that, it's going to leave you, you know, distressed. You know, it's going to leave you very upset because it's not going to be a good situation. So I want to kind of talk about the things that we can look for, key indicators that we can look at when evaluating people in relationships, in particular, men and women. So I want to be fair to the women, you know, even though they say women first. I think that, you know, we're picking on the women. So I want to talk about the men first. How can a woman identify an unavailable emotional man and a man who has baggage? One of the things that I had wrote down was the mama's boy, and that was because a man who may have a bad relationship with his mom or has a obsessive relationship with his mom, he might pick a woman who's replaying his relationship, you know, with his mom by picking a certain type of woman, and what he's looking for is someone who is exactly like his mother or exactly the opposite, depending upon the nature of the dysfunction in that relationship. If his mom was, you know, overprotective, he may want a woman to change his diaper or wipe his nose. If his mother abandoned him, he may be looking for a clingy lady. So this is a red indicator of somebody who has emotional baggage. And I think what that man really needs is to realize that his mother is not that the woman that he's with is not his mother, and you know, and more importantly, he needs to be able to work out his issues. So that's just one example that I had written down I want to ask Ronnie or, you know, the guys, are there any other things that we can advise women to look out for in men?
Yeah, go ahead, brother. Yeah, well, for me, I spent, a lot of time, like being a bachelor, and casually dating, And I'll just, be honest, like, it's always the commitment issue, and a lot of times when a woman, when she likes a man, she's attracted to him, she finds herself giving herself emotionally to the guy, to me, for example. And, an indicator that, a woman can really, really pick up on to know if this is something real or not is just when it comes down to that commitment, a man has to be 100% honest with the woman that he's dealing with. And a lot of times when you don't want to make anything real, you're not looking for anything, long term, a lot of times, we just say, there is no, I don't want to make the commitment of monogamy. That's the main thing. And that's what women seem to always want. They want to know that, they're the only one that you're with, So an indicator would just be that, if a man's not really willing to commit on any level, then that's something to really pay attention to, especially if you're thinking about making this person to me.
Absolutely. That was actually on my next list was the commitment phobe. There's men out there who have phobias of commitment, and they'll definitely be out there and living large as if as a bachelor, but they're terrified of letting a woman get too close to them, and I think women have to be definitely careful about that. I want to ask that question to Ronnie. What are the indicators, signs? Yeah,
like a sign I would tell a girl to look out for, to see if she's dealing with, a possible problem, because the person might not notice what they're doing. So, you could still work with them and maybe make them aware of it, but if they don't want to let it go, there's really, you should just let go. But I believe if you're dealing with somebody who's stuck in the past, like who can't let go of past things, even if you've already talked to them about it, then you're probably dealing with someone who hasn't let go of past relationships either. So that's what I would say. If they're always taking you back to square one, that means they can't move forward. And, they probably in ways that you can't see, haven't moved forward, either as far as bringing in baggage. They haven't let go of baggage. So I would say if a person can't move forward, if there's no progression, if they're still condemning you about a mistake you made way back in the day, then, if you talk to them and they can't get it straight, then you're probably dealing with somebody who's holding on to, who's a hoarder, who wants to hoard some baggage.
Absolutely. Some of the points that I've written down was that, ladies, beware of a man who's ambiguous about the status of your relationship. You're not sure when, and also be careful of guys where you're not sure when you'll hear from him the next time, even though you've been dating him for a while. If he's watch out for guys if he's definitely relying on text messages, instant messaging, and emails instead of phone, actually calling on the telephone. I would say, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I would say I'm not a big fan of long distance relationships. I think that you need to be in close proximity to somebody to really discern who they are. So I think that can be a flag. I mean, there's always exceptions to the rule, but they are exceptions. And I put down, make sure he's completely divorced and not just separated. I mean, what's up with women date men that are separated, not divorced, man? What's up with that?
I don't know. It's strange. It almost seems like women, even though they might not say it, they kind of are okay with it because it gives them the opportunity to fill a man out you know, to see where he's at, and they know that this man is, you know, not completely divorced. So it's like it's not their problem, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Like she can, you know, he has the opportunity to get courted, you know, get dated or whatever the case may be, and knowing that this man is not completely, like, you know, separated from or divorced from whoever it is that they were with previously.
Yeah, that's weird.
Mr. Rod, any advice to women to identify men who have emotional baggage or are emotionally unavailable?
Yeah, you know, you got men that just plays a lot of games, who don't want to deal with the real. We said it before, men who don't want to make commitments, men who, and then you also have men that may be with the woman for a while, and it may appear on the surface that he's in a committed relationship, but won't let the woman in, won't let the woman see the real him, you know what I'm saying, and don't have any real true relationship with that woman. You know, it's all about sex and maybe just hanging out here and there, but there's really no true real relationship where she actually knows this man's heart. He actually lets her in, as I'm saying, you know, instead of having these walls up, only let her go so far. You know, and that's one of the real big signs, because you have a lot of that going on too. And as far as these women, you know, dating men who are separated, you know, a lot of women, you know, like the brother said, look at it as it's not my problem. But then on the other hand, you know, the brother may be putting the Mac down so cold, she believes in anything that he's saying, you know.
Right.
So that's my take on that.
Absolutely, that's some sound wisdom right there from North and from Minister Rodney and from Ronnie. I wanna kind of flip the script now, and I wanna talk about the women. And if you're a man, how do you identify an emotional unavailable woman, or a woman who has too much baggage? And I have a few notes that I jotted down, and guys, feel free to interject or feel free to add some more to this. And I put down: a woman who constantly evades you. With women like this, it's always one step forward and 10 steps back. She will show interest, even extreme interest, and then suddenly and inexplicably become unavailable. No matter what you do, no matter how often you call her, she's gone, and you won't see her again for weeks or even months. Then out of the blue, she'll reappear with a big smile on her face, ready to go. What do you think about that?
I completely agree, man. You know, on the woman's side of things, you know, especially in today's time, you know, the young woman that's out there, you know, looking for a mate, like we're, you know, looking for a mate, they tend to juggle as well, you know, and that's definitely a key sign when, you know, you hear from a girl and she's overly into you, and then all of a sudden she just disappears. It's just basically a sign that, you know, that she has, you know, a couple of people that she's juggling, you know what I'm saying? And we as men have to be aware of that, because a lot, you know, these women, like, they're a lot more emotional than us, you know. Not saying that men aren't emotional, but they create, like, you know, a soul tie with all these other people, and you don't always know what it is that you're even getting most of the time, you know? So I agree with you on that, Raph.
Wow. The next point I put down was she wants what she can't have. She reacts emotionally to the hurt in her past. She has all the normal biological urges to be with a man and genuinely wants to have a successful relationship, but the very second her emotions are aroused, she gets scared, and she runs away. And I want to talk. I want to pose that comment for review to Ronnie. What do you think about a woman who allows a man to get close, but by the time he gets close to her, she panics and runs away and gets scared of becoming vulnerable?
Well, like, I believe from the girl's point, you know, anything that I've seen sort of like that is most times it's a girl who's kind of, like, damaged, you know what I mean? What you're seeing is, you know, everything is like cause and effect. So that's the effect of some kind of cause. And, you know, something made her that way, whether it be a past relationship or nerves or chemical imbalance, but, you know, that's not normal. You understand? Especially if your past the phases of the courtship, and we're serious, and you know we've gone beyond just meeting each other to where she shouldn't feel uncomfortable about you. There's definitely a cause for it. Will she tell you about it? I know you can't force it out of her, but you can be aware that, you know, this is a serious issue here, because if this is how it is in the beginning phases, you know, it can only get worse if it's not uprooted and dealt with properly. You know, it could
Absolutely.
Be a simple thing. Yeah, it could be something real simple, or it could be something, you know, deeply rooted, but it's definitely not normal.
You know, guys, we have a caller from the 202 area code. Call from the 202 area code. How you doing? What's your name? Where you calling from? Hello, caller from the 202 area code. Are you there?
Hi, this is Sonya Cherie. How are you guys?
Sonya, finally, how you doing?
Well, I listen to the show every Friday, and I wanted to call and say thank you so much for your thoughts and your prayers. I really, really appreciate it. When you don't have faith in yourself and people you don't even know are ardent enthusiasts for your happiness, that means a lot. So I wanted to call in and say thank you so much. And again, your show today is very timely and topical for me in terms of my I'm horrible in interpersonal relationships because of past relationships. I'm very controlling, and I'm nasty, and I'm mean-spirited, and I can't keep a relationship. So I rather deal with petty relationships where people, I can control them, and but they end up controlling me because they use me because I feel like I'm using them. So, again, thank you so much for your show. It convicts me a lot. I don't always trust God, so he flipped the script on me and said, if you don't trust me, I'm going to put the show in your life and let them convict you. So thank you guys so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Hey, Sonny, before you go, if you don't mind, let everyone know where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. Real quick, Minister Rodney, based upon what you just said, do you have anything to say to Sonya?
Yeah, just, you know, deal with whatever, you know, you need to deal with. It takes time, but eventually you will get there. You know, just take it day by day. And, you know, eventually you'll get where you want to get. And you will be in that relationship that you always desire, because I believe that's a gift from God for a woman to desire a relationship. There's nothing wrong with that. But being emotionally ready for the relationship, that's what you have to work on. And I believe you'll get there.
Thank you guys so much.
Now, Sonny, you mentioned that you were controlling. Where do you think that comes from? You think that comes from fear?
It comes from fear of acceptance. I was in a very difficult relationship when I was very young, and I didn't feel very loved or accepted. So in my new relationships, I'm always trying to one-up everything. I'm trying to outthink you. And I have someone I was very close to a couple of years ago, and I truly care for this person. He's like, I can't be in a relationship with you. I can't even be friends with you because you control everything I say, and we can't have this relationship. And he severed our friendship. And it bothers me till this day, and I try to call and text him. He's like, no, you ruined that for us, and you have to accept that. So I struggle with that, too, but I'm a work in progress. So.
Absolutely. Well, Sonia, we thank you for being transparent. And man, guys, before she goes, Ronnie, do you have anything to say to Sonia?
I would just let the past be in the past and sever, like really, you know, sit there and sever the ties, the effects of the things that happen to you, and allow yourself to be in Christ and not in the past. Allow yourself to believe in the promises that are at your access, you know, than the things in the past. And because it's natural to be like, okay, you know, if this is how it is, then for the next time, I'll do this, this, and that. But you got to realize the next time is with a whole different person. You can't bring the rules that you learned from the last person to this person. And so, you know, just let it go. You know, it's not an ongoing thing from one person to the next. Every time you meet someone new, it's a new. It's a new. And you know, not everything that the new person is about not everything that you picked up from their old relationship is going to help you in this new one. It could hinder you. Like you said, the brother told you that, you know, because you tried to play by the rules of your past, you know, you messed this thing up. So just let it go. It's not really a game. It's a commitment.
Absolutely. I have to get my act together, and I thank you guys for helping me put on that track. I really appreciate it.
That's right. You can do it. It's all good. You have the power to do it.
Awesome. You guys have a wonderful weekend. And I'll listen next
week. You too.
All right,
everyone.
Bye.
Man, I thank you for calling in, man. And that's so, she mentioned something to me that kind of stuck out, and she mentioned that, you know, from hearing from what she was saying, it seems as though that rejection that she faced in that relationship because she messed up, I guess, or was too controlling, that's still with her. She hasn't let that go. And it probably, if I can say this, made her a little maybe not having any confidence when it comes to being in a new relationship. So, North, did you get the same thing from her when she was talking about that?
You know what, man? I don't know. I just have to say this. I could relate to what she was saying, you know, just the fact that she just put it out there, you know, I'm a controlling type of woman. You know, I always want to be one up on the guy. You know what I mean? And the reason why I can relate to that is because, you know, when you know what you want, you know what you want. Some women actually go after men that they can control. You know, they don't want a man that is strong, that stands his ground, or whatever the case may be, because that's just how they were raised or have experience or what have you. And just like there's some men, like myself, like me and some guys in the shop, we always talk about how, you know, these days in relationships, we have to be kind of like cavemen. We're just like heterosexual, dominant men because there's so much of this kind of like timid, you know, overly sensitive, overly emotional men that exist out there who women, you know, tend to deal with because of the fact that they don't even exactly know what they're looking for. So, you know, the fact that she put out there that she's controlling or whatever the case may be, I mean, I couldn't understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. One thing I do want to say, though, is that when you don't deal with the root of something, it's just going to keep festering. And you're gonna be caught up in a cycle. In every relationship, even though it may be a new person, you're still gonna get the same results. You know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of like doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. You know, until you deal with the root of what causes you to want to be in control, that causes you to want to have a relationship go a certain way that you want it to go, to when you want to control it, then, you know, you're going to keep getting the same results. Until you resolve the issue in you and deal with the root of it, like my brother was saying, there is always a root cause to what you're putting out. So, you know, that's my strong advice to anybody.
And that's some good advice there, but what if you can't get to the root? What if you don't know how to identify the root? What would you recommend someone to do?
Well, I recommend what someone would do. You got to go to God. You go to your creator, go to God. He will show you. You know, God has a way of showing you things. You know, if you can't pinpoint it, trust me, the Holy Spirit will pinpoint it for you. But you have to ask him. You know, you have to go to God with these things, you know, and be willing. And be willing when God shows you, be willing to deal with it. Like the brother was saying, you know, we have the ability to put aside the weight. But most of the time, you know, we know what the root cause is. We know where the hurt comes from. You know, it's just sometimes we don't want to deal with it.
Absolutely, absolutely, guys. You know what? We're almost to the end of the show, and I think we need to do a part two. What do you think about that?
Sounds good.
Yep. I think this show was enough time to get everything we had to get talk about. But, Ronnie, what do you think about the show, man? And if you have any closing comments.
Well, I think the show was great. You know, this is a topic that we need to deal with. And, you know, for whoever hears it, you know, it applies to just bringing in baggage from your past. If you're a believer, in the shed blood and God's act of love and kindness. And once you come into that, lay aside the person you used to be, the portfolio you used to have. That's done. You're brand new. Your record has been erased. And like if you're just, you know, in the world still, the thing is, whatever you do has an effect on your life. Everything you do does have a spiritual root in your life. And so some of the things that you can't just shake off because they're happening, they have their place in the unseen world. And until you take spiritual responsibility and go to the true spiritual authority, they'll always follow you around and trip you up. So, you know, this issue of baggage and not being able to give yourself totally to someone because of your past, you know, needs to be dealt with, and the root of it is spiritual.
Wow. You know, part of why that was so powerful, what you just said, because a lot of people don't deal with it. It's like I'm just trying to think of an analogy. It's like trying to put out a fire with a fan. It's not going to be very effective. You know what I'm saying? You need to, like you said, you need to get to the root, which is the spirit. Everything comes from the spirit, and a lot of times North mentioned this. There's a lot of soul ties going on, and soul ties are nothing but you know, nothing but spiritual bonding, illegal spiritual bonding to other individuals, and sometimes demonic spirits. So that's very important. I want to go to Minister Rodney right now, and Minister Rodney, thanks for being on the show. And I want to ask you what you thought about today's show. Oh, absolutely. What do you think about today's show, and what's your final comments?
Man, I think today's show was good, man. I think it was a very excellent topic. I think there's a lot of people out there that's dealing with baggage, whether it be in the church or not in the church. And a lot of that baggage, man, just leads to so many other things, you know. And my closing comment, man, whatever it is that you're dealing with, like my brother was saying, deal with it in the natural and deal with it in the spiritual realm, you know. And then just move forward in God. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about taking off the old man and then putting on the new man, which is Christ. You know, and that's something we have to do. God ain't going to do it for you. You have to do it, you know. And it takes you getting in the Word of God daily, spending time with God's Word, spending time with God in prayer, spending time with God in worship. And, you know, you deal with it in the natural, you deal with it in the spiritual realm, and you can be free if you want to be free. You can be free. So those are my closing comments.
Absolutely. Brian, man, it's good to have you on the show for the first time. You had some awesome comments, bro, and I wanted to see what you thought about today's show and what's your closing comments to all people out there who are listening.
Yeah, definitely, guys. You know, you've been talking to me for a minute now about getting on the show, and I'm actually really, really happy that I was able to join in today and talk with all you men. And my closing thing is just basically, you know, about the topic itself that we talked about today, about loving with all we have and not with what we have left. I think that it's extremely important for us as men and women to just understand that we have to go back to God for reasons of repair, man. We have to repair ourselves, you know. A lot of times, a lot of people I talk to, I just let people know, like, I'm in repair, you know. I'm not together yet, but I'm getting there, and that's the main thing. And once I get there, then I can give myself completely to the woman that I want to be in my life. So that's my closing comments, man. Just, you know, allow ourselves to heal and repair those, ask God to repair those wounds so that way we can be better men and women.
Absolutely. And thanks for having you on the show, North. Guys, well, you heard it from these awesome men of God, and you know, these are guys, North Barber. We have Minister Rodney, who's a technician. We got Ronnie, who's a entrepreneur, who's in the printing business, and he has his own internet radio show. So, you know, you heard from guys from all different walks of life, who some are married, some are unmarried. You heard it. I mean, pay attention to what we're talking about. For those men out there who have baggage, God is not going to bless you with a wife or with a woman that you truly want until you unload that baggage, but you have to go through him. And same advice, my advice would go to women as well. You know, if you truly want the man that God has for you, not the man that Satan has for you, but the one that God has for you, truly identify your blind spots, stop the blame game, and learn how to forgive and let go of that baggage so God can truly bless you. And those are my comments, man. I don't really have too much to say about that right now. That's pretty much it. I think we've covered it all. And, you know, Can We Talk Radio, that's who we are. That's what we do. And we'll be here same time, same place, next weekend, every Friday, 8 to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, guys, have a blessed weekend. We will see you soon. God bless.
We ride on 24.
You ain't never seen a church boy riding with the top down swerving. Everybody see me bend the curve. Every whip on 24s, every crib got 50 doors. Don't get nervous, man, I finally paid off.
You ain't never seen a church boy riding with the top down swerving. Everybody see me bend the curve.
Every whip on 24s, every crib got 50 doors. Don't get nervous, man, I finally paid off.
On 24.
We let some people know
them city and state we go.
Can't keep that name on low.
Deep in switching lane.
Both me and their rest of name.
Both field don't play no game.
See someone on the chain.
Standing and riding high.
Stream Jesus when I'm riding by.
Where you gonna be when you die? I'ma be in the sky.
We ride on 24.
Don't have to sell no drugs.
Music to get that flow.
These shots go to the pro.
Cadillac go. Maybach go.
Billy
Coupon. Share the hoop on.
Drop
them, then they give away.
Why cause God say give away?
But the more I give away,
I got more coming back to me.
You give, you plenty more. Get your grill with plenty doors. Stacked up with plenty floors.
Don't forget to thank the Lord.
Life with pride. Don't think twice.
Persecute.
Yeah, you got balls when you ride on 24.
We ride on 24.
We ride on 24.
Screens falling down. It's Mr. Dale from the M-Town. Behind the limo 10 and I'm sitting sideways. I would brag on the rhyme, but the Christ paid. For the 10 wood, boy, you know I look good. Remote control, got it picking like a Fleetwood. Shorty, I'm so hood, yes, we do it real big. I ride slow for my kids, folks and little kids. They say he's so rich, I say I'm so blessed. No slang gay, but I stay dope, boy, fresh. I blow a tree, all you gotta do is say yes. And you'll be riding with the best, and there's nothing left. I like the boast in him, riding on them grown men. I spit this testament, gangsta, but I'm heaven sent. So I'ma take it to the south where we deal whole. And swing foes, case your ride on 24.
We ride on
24.
We ride on
24.
We ride on 24. I'm saving.
Hey.
You ain't never seen a church boy riding with the top down swerving. Everybody see me bend the curb.
Every whip on 24s. Every crib got 50 doors. Don't get nervous. Saying okay. Top out of bed.
No 24s gripping. Watch out, my painted be dripping. Hustling souls on the mission. So sit back and pay attention. King Kong in the trunk. What you thought I had, Steph? Call my rims a peppermint in case you got that bad breath. If I sit on 24, rims growner than the kid. Million off in the base, so pay attention to the kid. Tato is the maniac. That's why we sitting on that cream. Yeah, they call me Million, but you can call me Mr. Green. Let me get them good boats with them Lamborghini doughs.
We ride on 24.
So I don't care what they hitting for, no, you just